Now, I'm going to tell you what some people believed it. Because, brothers and sisters, every one of the elders that we met with over in Cornwall from the reorganization, every one of them are members of the Church of Christ today. If you don't think that the Lord doesn't work and move on the hearts of the children of men to see and believe and understand the truth. Every one of them, one of them today is a pastor of the local up there on the Mohawk Reservation. This Word of God is powerful. It's powerful. It's powerful unto the converting of the soul. It's powerful unto the bringing to our understanding and to our knowledge of the gospel of Christ. It's powerful so that we can know the truth. I'm going to read another scripture to you and then I'm going to get down. I know I'm going. I'm sorry. There's so much I'd like to tell you. And like I said, I got the proof of it. My brother and I have the proof. And so if you decide to come up and look at it, why, bless your heart, we have it. And they can't do anything with it. Okay? That's the fulfillment of the prophecies that was brought forth, one of the many of the Book of Mormon, that if I had time tonight, I could go through and bear witness to you the fulfillment of the prophecy of that book that the world says is of no avail, and that it's an evil book, and that it carries the power of Satan. Don't you know that Satan doesn't have the power of Christ? He never has had that power. And Satan never has had a light. I know the Bible tells you that the Satan can come and stand before you as the light of an angel. Don't you believe it? He can never hold a heavenly light to that power. The Book of Mormon says he'd come and he'll be nigh under the light of an angel. And you better believe that. He stands nigh unto a light of an angel. But he stands there enough to deceive you unless we're awake and alert. And unless we're praying for discernment. And unless we try the spirits. I'm going to read the 23rd chapter, the 23rd Psalms quickly. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. I want you to listen how beautiful this is. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with the oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. I'd like to read it to you in the New Bible. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. He lets me rest in the meadow grass and leads me beside the quiet stream. He restores my failing health. He helps me to do what honors Him the most. And when walking through the dark valley of death, I will not be afraid, for You are close beside me, guarding and guiding all the way. You provide delicious food for me in the presence of mine enemy. You have welcomed me as Your guest, blessing overflow. Your goodness and unfailing kindness shall be with me all of my life, and afterwards, I will live with You forever in Your home. You know, brothers and sisters, it's funny, but it's sad. It's sad. This is what the lamb and the sheep across the world are being taught. That's what they're being taught. Is there a need for a Book of Mormon? Is there a need for a witness? Amen. That's why God caused that to be preserved so it would be brought forth as a witness. And it is a witness. And that's why he said there, one in his hand. It couldn't be one if they taught different. What good would it do for them to grow together if they wasn't the same? They teach the exact same gospel. If they want to throw their Book of Mormon in the garbage, they better throw their Bible in with it. Of course, they got one that they can't find anymore because these things here, it's just exactly like the Book of Mormon says. Satan has power over them because they're blind. They're blinded by the changes of a foundation that's supposed to be sure and true and never turn, not even a shadow of changing. They're blinded by the changes of men in the Holy Scripture to where they are, to the point that many of them fall away and are lost. Many of them are fall away. They fall away and they are lost. How important it is, brothers and sisters, that we hold fast to the Scriptures that God has preserved for us and that we come to the realization who we are. Yeah, I mean that. And I don't mean it in a way that we're supposed to say, boy, we're the Church of Christ, hooray for our side, or be stiff-necked or proud. But we're to be meek and humble. Does not Peter tell us that the elders weren't to be lords over the flock, but they were to be examples? We're to be examples unto the world. We're to not be lords to the world, but we're to be those that love them and love their soul, just like our Lord and our Savior, inasmuch that we're willing to proclaim and to bear witness of the hope that we have within us unto all nations and to whomsoever we can get to stop and listen. That's our heritage. That's the heritage of the gospel of Jesus Christ, is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, that unaltered old Jerusalem story of eternal life and of a Savior that died on the cross to save us, and through Him and through the cleansing blood of the Lamb, through obedience and desire to obey Him, we can be cleansed through His grace and through His love. You bet we got a heritage. But that heritage requires a righteous walk for you and I. That heritage says that you and I have to live the life that we're a worthy servant to carry that gospel. Isn't that what the Apostle Paul says? Those who preach the gospel must live the gospel. Are we aware of the fact that when the Book of Mormon states the fact that the saints, the blood of the saints, cried out against them out of the dust? You know, that scares me. You know, I'm sure there was times in my life that the blood of the saints was crying against me out of the dust. How important it is that we so order our life that it doesn't cry against us out of the dust. But if it cried, it would cry for us because of our obedience unto the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, who's got the paper? Who's got the paper we're passing around? You got it? Stand up and read it.
Jesus died on the cross, so our soul wouldn't be lost. We must keep the commandments at all costs.
You notice how it's word for word? That's the written word. Word will change our life and alter our thinking if we'll yield to it, to eternal life and to the life more abundantly and to the hope that comes in Jesus Christ. This written word. In closing, I'd like to read a prayer from an Indian brother. It's White Cloud. He says, O Father, whose voice I hear in the winds and whose breath gives life to all the world, hear me. How many times have you gone with burdens in your heart and you found your closet or under a mesquite tree or a pine tree or out in a cow pasture, and you knelt down and said, "Father, hear me." "I am a man before you, one of your many children. I am small and weak. I need your strength and wisdom. Let me walk in the beauty and make my eyes ever behold the red and purple sunsets. Make my hands respect the things you have made, my ears sharp to hear your voice. Make me wise so that I may know the things you have taught my people, the lessons you have hidden in every leaf and rock. I seek strength, Father, not to be superior to my brothers, but to be able to fight my greatest enemy, myself. Make me ever ready to come to you with clean hands and straight eye, so that when life fades as the setting sunset, my spirit may come to you without shame. Amen." God bless each of you. Know that you have a work to do. Young man, prepare yourself for that work. Older men as well. Young ladies, prepare yourself that you might be a wife of a missionary. And if you're a wife of a missionary, you must need support him, because you can kill his work and kill his ministry if you want to fight him. Prepare yourselves for such. And know that just exactly as the unalterable God teaches us and tells us to endure to the end, pray diligently that God will lead you to your mate, and know that you're to endure to the end with that mate until death do you part. The Lord says endure to the end because he knows you're going to have trouble and strife. That's right. And you know, no man and no woman ever thought alike. And boy, how beautiful that is that the Lord didn't have a man and woman think alike. But just remember one thing. When you make a covenant before God, that covenant is supposed to be before God until death do you part. Through the trials and tribulations, on your knees and holding each other's hand and holding the hand of the Lord of the house, whom we hope is Jesus Christ, you'll endure all things in your marriage. You'll endure all things that are necessary, that you have a right to hear him say, "Enter ye in, my faithful servant." God bless you each.
Our closing song will be number 172. Yes. You heard him read some things out of these two books that seemed pretty ridiculous. but not quite as ridiculous as some of them, because there is one book out that starts the 23rd Psalm off as, "The Lord is my flashlight." That's how far off they've gone. You've heard tonight what I have to put up with for 9 months out of the year. You know, at the beginning of this service, I wasn't honest with all of you. Because if I'd have told you the truth, you might have all left. I didn't tell you that my brother has no conception of time. He doesn't. But what you heard was the truth. And if you paid attention, like I hope I paid attention, it will serve each one of us well. Tomorrow morning, there'll be no prayer service here. There will be a meeting at 8 o'clock here for the elders. At 10 o'clock, the business meeting will start. But a meeting at 8 o'clock in the morning for the elders. We will close with number 172.